Thank you. Please be seated. Someone said to me, bringing up parents, that must be a mistake. We only bring up children. But dear friends, no mistake. Many parents need to be brought up in the fear and knowledge and nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sooner we understand this and realize this, the better it is for our blessing. So, what shall we read to lead us into this very wonderful topic, bringing up parents? What parent can you think of who may be an example and a lesson to us? 1 Samuel chapter 22. I beg your pardon, chapter 2. 1 Samuel 2. Alright. The Old Testament. Right after the book of Ruth. Is Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Reading from verse 22, an account which is very sad and instructive and profitable. For all scripture is profitable. Yes. Even in the learning from the sad story of a great man called the high priest. Verse 22. His name was Eli, or if you like, Eli, very old, nearly 100 years old, and heard all that his sons did in Israel, and how they lay with women. Wow, what is that? Sons of the high priest, cohabiting with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That is something unheard of. Verse 23. And he said unto them, why do ye do such things? I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto their father, because the Lord would slay them. Verse 26. And the child Samuel, who would be the successor to Eli, grew and was in favor both with the Lord and with men. Then there came a man of God to Eli and said to him, thus said the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore then kick ye at my sacrifice, and at mine offering which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Verse 31. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes, and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. Verse 34. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Amen. I hope you have caught the trend of the story. The high priest is the highest authority representing God in the whole kingdom. He is the man who is held up as an example, even as like the pastor or senior pastor. You like to know what ought to be done, what is the will of God, the standards we should adopt. Look at them. Pastor, senior pastor. Here is the senior priest, high priest, the highest authority. And he sits there and he hears these reports about the two sons. As people come in to worship, they will get those women of their choice and commit adultery wherever is convenient. We are not told. But this is the practice. And this was brought to the father. What do you think of his response? I want to just show you today's OHPs again.
Delinquent. If you fail what is expected of you, mother, father, God has given you a responsibility. You do not produce children and say, it's the responsibility of society that my children be looked after, or the church, or anyone else. So I say, wake up to your responsibility. Those who have young children listen doubly heavily. At the same time, children have to listen also, otherwise they also become delinquent. Waiting their responsibility, which is obey parents in the Lord. But then if parents do not know how to exert their authority, how can the children obey? What to obey? Today, obey the television. Sit there. That's it. I sit in all the time when I travel. Sometimes I stay with people. And mother is busy, father is out. What do I do with two kids? Television. Sit there. Or obey. How can you bring up children with a television? That is a disaster. So this became a national disaster. The very top authority of morals and conduct does not see the danger in his sons, and only say, well, such is not good, you know. It's not good. What should he have done? I leave it as a question to you. I say, finally, who is this man? He is a moral jellyfish. One who has got no principles that are set and that he believes and he works and acts on those principles. Just because it's my son, I dare not do it. Moral jealousy. My dear friends, God has given us all a sound mind. I hope you have a sound mind. And to every parent and parent to be, please note, there is a great battle in the home. The home is a battlefield. Who is in charge? God or Satan? Either one. If you are a believer, born again, and child of God, you must act on behalf of God, who has allowed you to produce a family. You do not just produce families and hope for the best. You don't. You've got to work for the Lord because you are a Christian. Christ died for you to redeem you, to give you the blessing of redemption and salvation, and to know His Word. The Word is freely available. Do you read? Do you obey? So, with this, we turn back, return to the story of Eli. 1 Samuel chapter chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Verse 10. Now comes the final judgment on the sons. Verse 10 says, the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. There was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. God put an end to these two evil men by a death on the battlefield. Verse 18, how the end came to Eli.
a very sad record, and may it never happen to any of God's people here. And it came to pass when he had made mention of the ark of God being taken by the enemy, he fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, waiting for the news of the battle, and his neck broke and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and had judged Israel 40 years. Amen. Here then ends that sad story, a tragedy of great proportions. Now, dear friends, let us apply the lesson to ourselves. To every father and mother, let me say this, you are God's appointed head of family. Do not run away from it. Do not pretend that you do not know it. I'm telling you today, you have a family, you are the head, appointed of God. And if you're a believer, I trust you are, then you have a very heavy and God-given honor of that responsibility. Question, are you performing as God wants you to do? In that position, you are to execute authority under God. You have that authority. It is given to you by God. And it is your duty to nurture your children in the knowledge of God. It is your duty, not the church primarily. We are here to do the second part. The first part is parental responsibility. And it is your responsibility to build citizens for Singapore. Worthy citizens. You say, I never heard of that. Well, if you haven't never heard, I'm telling you the truth. Every Christian is duty-bound to build upright citizens worthy of the name of being a Singaporean. Right. So that wherever you go, they say, well, you are a good representative of Singapore. And secondly, not just worthy citizens of Singapore, but worthy citizens of the heavenly kingdom. That is your responsibility. When does it begin? From the time the child is born, it is your responsibility. Every parent understands the need for that child to grow in the things of the world. To go to school, preschool nowadays is starting earlier and earlier. In our days, we never had things like kindergarten almost. All right, the most is kindergarten at 5. 6 years old, you go to school. Now they start at 2 and 3 and 4. That's why we have a kindergarten downstairs. As far as parents are concerned, please let me inform you, your responsibility begins. The moment the child is born, you must pray for the child. Sing to the child. The songs I love, I learned at mother's breast. Right? Mother sang them to me. What are you mothers doing? Fathers equally. And there must be a family altar, a worship pattern established in the home. Is it too difficult? I say, is it too difficult? You take your child to piano tuition, to every kind of tuition, and you spend all out, maximum effort for the child to keep up with the rest and to attain high grades in school. How about attaining a high grade before God? You think that's not important? My friends, let's have our priorities right. So, please don't now feel that, wow, so heavy is my responsibility. I never knew. I ask you, did you ever know that parenthood has a very heavy responsibility when you plan to get married? Did you? All right, think about it. Those who are planning to get married, and I am going to be very serious with this, Everyone coming for premarital counseling will get a today's paper in gist. How you planning to get married ought to know the consequences and the responsibility of parenthood. This is a very serious subject. We just don't just teach you how to manage a family, economics of family, how to get a proper job and to do all those other things, and neglect the most important part, parental responsibility before God. That is very, very important. Now, according to our time, I have no time. But if you don't mind, we'll have extended time. Is that all right? You have no choice anyway.
I have here ten sure steps to disaster in the home. As they say, prevention is better than cure, right? So what I'm giving you is prevention. Those of you who already have grown children, sorry, too late. Alright. Number one, first step to disaster is always give in to your child. Why? Oh, child is going to get angry with me. That has tempered child. No? I must therefore please the child in everything. First step, you do that all the time, disaster is coming ahead. Never use the rod. I'm sorry that you have to use the rod. But please don't be a brutal man with brutal mother. There is a way to use the rod, there is a way not to use the rod. Please, before the rod, there must be counseling. Prayer. Explain to the child what's wrong with what he has done and why father or mother is doing something. Oh, I'm so sorry. I've forgotten my act.
Begin again for those upstairs. Yes, dear friends, use the rod, please, but use it judiciously, correctly. Explain to your child. And I say, if you do that, every intelligent child will agree with the parent. And after a beating, after explanation, that child will be more obedient and more affectionate to the parent. You don't believe it, you try it. But do it the correct way. Explain first. And sometimes the father or mother in the explanation will shed tears. Yes? But explain to the child. You have been naughty, you've done this, you've torn things in your temper, and this is not good. And you explain. And then, okay, hands out. How many strokes? Gently, if need be. And if the child does not respond, then you increase the strength. Okay. But our experience, and I'm sure many, many parents here will agree, after the correction, the child is so much more affectionate when he realizes how wrong he is and how he has been or she has been corrected for his own benefit. And never fail to pray with the child. Number three. In everything, let the child choose. You say, this is the modern rot that has crept into even Christian counseling books. Let the child choose. The child will choose what is correct, and the child will not know what is correct until you tell the child. Number four, don't enforce family worship. Let them grow up and then let them choose. That is disaster number one. Please. I want to just touch on this last point. Family worship is part of your God-given privilege that God allows you in the home to set up a place and say, children, father, mother, sit together. We are going to sing, Jesus loves me. All right. And to explain and to recite a simple Bible verse. God loved us and gave us His Son. All right. Together. How long does it take? Don't tell me you don't have 15 minutes. If you don't, then you are living the wrong kind of life. Alright, please remember this. This is the safe way, the best way to impart the knowledge of God to the child. Never contradict a child. He is better educated than you now. So you think. Number six, give unlimited pocket money. All right. I say this is the beginning of disaster, because they will grow up thinking there is no end to money, and how can you ever teach them thrift and teach them the value of money? If whatever he wants, he gets it. Number seven, parents quarrel often. Quarreling parents are the worst examples for children. I don't say you cannot quarrel, but you have to quarrel, go to bedroom and quarrel, shut the door, and after that pray and apologize and repent. Yeah. Why did you ever get married? To quarrel? No. So please, to every couple, understand, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive, as I forgive, as I am forgiven, for if you do not, God will not forgive you. So simple as that. So please don't quarrel. Number eight, let him read what he likes today. Computer. And my son shuts himself in the room, doesn't go to sleep until 2, 3 a.m. I ask him, what do? Study law. Study law. What do you know? There are many things besides study in the box, you know. Alright, please be wise. You have to exert certain authority, but ultimately that authority is wisdom of God that you can put into the child, that the child becomes persuaded that God has a plan in his life, and how he directs his life with so much freedom available today. If that child will understand, God loved me and gave himself for me, so I am a different person. I am a child of heaven. Therefore, I must not live like the world and use this tool of study to become a tool of sin. Yes, internet, right? I don't play computer at all. But I read. And the newspapers say, sociologists in America are very worried because so many families and children are breaking up because of the computer, because of the internet, because of the internet chat rooms and pornography channels, all kinds of things. It's getting fiercer and fiercer, and more and more available. Anywhere, anytime, you can have it. Now, you cannot shackle your child all his life. Yeah. But you can give him the principle, you can give him the love of God and the obedience of the law of God, you can put it into him. Whether he will receive it or not, you got to pray, and you leave it at that. There is no complete, foolproof method of parentage today. None. But you got to do. Don't say, since there is none, I do nothing. You don't. Yes. God gives you a responsibility. You are accountable. You got to answer to God. Number nine. Make him the center of attraction. Oh, my child, my daughter is most beautiful. My son is the most smartest child in the world. And make him the center and never scold, only praise. That disaster. Do everything for the child. Oh, don't let him. If he drops a piece of dirt, you must pick it up. And he doesn't know anything about housework. I said, that is the first step to disaster again. Housework, let them do. Yes. Give them some responsibility. Give them the dignity of work. Not like the one who went to Anglo-Chinese school. He said, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew says, now you got the use hands campaign. I bring my ama with you. Yeah. You got to use your hands. All of us got to learn this lesson. I come from Anglo-Chinese school, by the way. Parents, sacred trust. This is my closing message to you. Dear friend, can God depend on you? The stakes are high. The price you pay is higher. You may not know it today, but in 5 years, in 10 years, if you are wise today, do all these things, and then you may have an opportunity then to say, thank God for that sermon I ever heard on the 19th of March 2006. Remember these things. We don't say them just because to fill the time of a sermon. We say them because it is God's message to you. Why to you? You are a child of God. And God is concerned. God is a loving God. And He cares for you. Amen. Now, just a few more words in closing. There's a very, very famous school in America called Princeton. And at one time, the president of Princeton was President Woodrow Wilson. Eventually became president of America. He says, as a president, I received many letters. Parents write to me, President, can you help to make better sons and daughters for us? We send them to Princeton. Now please make them to be better sons and daughters. President Wilson replied, my dear parents, your child has come to us age 17, 18. They have grown up with you. You have implanted in them certain values after your own teaching. You have imprinted on them your character. They are molded after you. Now they are 16, 17, 18. There is little we can do. Because what has been done cannot be undone. Their character, their values are yours. You had those traits imprinted on your son or your daughter. How can we undo them? They're fixed. So I say, dear friends, value your children by doing the things you ought to do in the time you have with them. They're not yours forever. Godly parents, may God speak to you and do your duty while you can. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts. Thank thee for parents, godly parents. Lo, Lord, give us more godly parents. Thank thee for children. Lord, give us faithful and obedient children. Help us who are parents to exercise our God-given privilege, and help those who are children to learn the lesson of obedience in the Lord. This is our prayer with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen.